Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Canto 10, verses 40 to 42. Is that correct? Canto 10, chapter 15, verses 40 to 42. So I was instructed, like from Tukaram yesterday, to read the Sanskrit of the first two verses and we repeat the third verse together. Is that correct? So just Atatala Falani Adam Manusya Gata Sadvasaha Trinamcha Parshavacheru Hata Denuka Kanani Ata. I have to do that? Oh, no, just the translation. People now felt free to return to the forest where Denuka had been killed, and without fear they ate the fruits of the palm trees. Also the cows could now graze freely upon the grass there. Purport says, according to the acharyas, low class people such as the Pulindas ate the fruits of the palm trees, but Krishna's cowherd boyfriends considered them undesirable since they had been tainted with the blood of the asses. Text 41 says, Krishna kamala patraksha punya shravana kirtanaha stuyamano nukai gopai sagracho vrajam avrajat. Translation goes, the lotus-eyed Lord Shri Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, returned home to Vraj with his elder brother Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. Purport. When the glories of Shri Krishna's are vibrated, both the speakers and the hearers are purified and become pious. And here we come to the verse that we are going to recite today. Hare Krishna. Okay. Tango Rajas Churita Kuntala Bada Barha Banya Prashunna Ruchikesha Charuhasam Venum Kwananta Nugaya Pagita Kirtin Gopyo drishikta drisho abhyagamo sametaha Tam him Goraja with the dust raised by the cows Churita smeared Kuntala within his locks of hair Vada placed, Varha, a peacock feather, Vanya Prashuna, with forest flowers, Ruchira Ikshana, charming eyes, Charuhasam, and a beautiful smile, Venum, his flute, Kwanantam, sounding, Anugaye by his companions, Upagita being chanted, Kirtim his glories Gopyah, the gopis. Didriksha Sita, eager to see. Drishaha, their eyes. Abhyagaman, came forward. Samittaha, in a body. So the translation goes like this. I'll read it and then we'll repeat it. Lord Krishna's hair, powdered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. The Lord glanced charmingly and smiled beautifully, played upon his flute while his companion chanted his glories. The gopis all together came forward to meet him, their eyes very eager to see him. Let's repeat. Lord Krishna's hair, powdered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. The Lord glanced charmingly and smiled beautifully, playing upon his flute while his companions chanted his glories. The gopis all together came forward to meet him, their eyes very eager to see him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Not by Srila Prabhupada, by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Inspired by Srila Prabhupada. Inspired by Srila Prabhupada. Superficially, the gopis were young married girls, and therefore they would naturally be ashamed and fearful of casting loving glances at a beautiful young boy like Sri Krishna. But Sri Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and all living beings are his eternal servants. Thus, the gopis, although the most pure-hearted of all great souls, did not hesitate to come forward and satisfy their love-struck eyes by drinking in the sight of beautiful young Krishna. The gopis also relished the sweet sound of his flute and the enchanting fragrance of his body. Disciple of Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Aum gyanna timirandasya gyanan janan shalakaya chakshuran militanyana tasmae shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano vistam stapitam yena putale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasaji Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's a pleasure to be here among such an exalted audience in the holiest place of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And I beg for the permission of all my seniors here to be a humble servant in trying to share my humble realizations in the path of Bhakti Yoga. You're all extremely fortunate souls to be here in the place of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada would emphasize again and again the rarity of reaching the comprehension of what it means to be close to the sweet pastimes of Sri Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So all of you are very fortunate souls, and I'm here begging your mercy that one day I may get your fortune. Yesterday we had a beautiful verse, or a beautiful speaker, speaking about a beautiful verse. And his point was how the acharyas so poetically describe the landscape of Raj. He very expertly brought so many different angles how this picture is painted. And here in these following verses, we can observe that that picture is right there. The acharyas are painting this beautiful picture of the spiritual world, so our meditation can enter in that realm. A particular verse expresses the freedom that the Vrajavasis experience when Krishna protects them. And every morning, here in Vrindavan, you chant a special song which has the mood of this chapter. And you know it very well. Yashoda Dulala Govinda Dopala Vrindavan Purandara Gopi Priyajana Radhika Ramana Bhuvana Sundara Bhara. One more time. Yashoda Dulala Govinda Gopala Vrindavana Pundadara Gopi Priyajana Radhika Ramana Bhuvana Sundara Bhara. And the verse says, he is the darling of Mother Yashoda, the giver of pleasure to the cows, land, and spiritual senses, and the protector of the cows. He is the lord of Vrindavan forest. The gopis beloved, and the lover of Radhika. The most beautiful personality in all the world. And here in this verse, we are brought to all these elements that this stanza is talking about. You have the gopas, you have the cows, you have the gopis, now appreciating Krishna when he comes back like a king with his hair covered in dust by the dust coming from the cows. But I'm not so qualified to talk on these topics, so I take shelter of Rupa Goswami and the Antya Lila 1.132. He is meeting Lord Chaitanya for the second time, and he is writing a play, and the Lord asks him to give some verses. And this verse specifically, he says, may the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So Rupa Goswami is kindly extending the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all of us to be able to understand the intimate pastimes of the 10th canto. And I remember as a young bhakta doing book distribution, my Sankirtan leader will tell me, every time you give a book, you get a hug of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't know if you ever heard that, or if that was some regional comprehension or understanding. But we got addicted to it, and every time we gave a book, something special happened in our hearts. And that something was the reciprocation of the Lord. We felt we are connected to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and we felt we are connected to the mission of giving the highest knowledge with which all of you are practicing right here. Glorifying the pastimes of the Lord, just like the gopis were when they saw Krishna. So that was my reference to your good fortune to be here. In the purport of this Anjalila verse, Rupa Goswami brings many points. And one specific point, he says, without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot describe the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami said, may Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exactly like a lion that kills all elephants of desire, be awakened within everyone's heart, for by his merciful blessings, one can understand the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. When I read this, I felt a great inspiration, a great hope, because it is unheard of that in Kali Yuga, so many Srimad Bhagavatam sets are going out. We heard this morning, three Bhagavatam sets were sold. Just like this. So many books. Hare Krishna became a household word. Everybody in the whole planet has heard Hare Krishna, which used to be the most secret of all transcendental secrets. The intimate connection with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. On the previous verse, if you can go up one verse, in the translation, it says, the lotus eye Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, return home with his elder brother Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. The theme which is permeating these verses is the glorification of Krishna. And by doing that, transcendental pleasure is imbibing our being. And in the purport, the devotee says, when the glories of Sri Krishna vibrated, both the speakers and the hearers are purified and become pious. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was traveling to America, he was wondering how he would convince nations which are so engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance, mostly ignorance, would understand the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. And in his meditation here in Vrindavan, in the Radha Damodar Mandir, which many of you, I'm sure, go frequently to get his blessings. Have you been there? Whoever has been there, raise your hand. So you do frequently go there. But those of you who haven't been there, who don't go frequently, please do. There Rupa Goswami was personally giving Srila Prabhupada his mercy and instructions and assurance that he would be successful. And what was the weapon that Srila Prabhupada was instructed to take with him? The Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada had no means to publish the Back to Godhead magazine. He had to beg for the paper. He had to personally carry the paper. And finally he managed, through some donations, to print Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the weapon that he had. And we can see in this verse, by reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, both the speaker and the hearers become pious. So Prabhupada would say that the Srimad Bhagavatam class is actually the means for us to transcend, because by hearing the constant glories of Krishna, we'll be inclined to chant his glories because we are hearing, and that makes us purified. And the book distributors, the Harinam parties, the preachers, they are doing great beneficial work by spreading the glories of Raj throughout the world. You can imagine that this year we heard from Vaisheshika Prabhu that together the world was able to give how many sets of Bhagavatam? Who can guess? Globally, how many sets of Srimad Bhagavatam did we do last year? How many of you know? Anybody knows? Any guess? He says 50,000. He's a hopeful person. 50,000 sets of Bhagavatam. 50,000 times 20 books. It can be many books. It was a little less. Previous record was 23,000. And this year they managed to do 35,000 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an amazing feat. And they decided that for 2026, globally as a team, they want to reach 100,000 sets in the year. And he's hoping that all of you and all the devotees globally will take that inspiration to do that. But in order to receive this message, we have to become a perfect listener. We have to become someone who is desiring to receive this message. And Maharaj Parikshit, he is here guiding us how to live Srimad Bhagavatam. He's giving us this information, how we can read that. And in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse number 40, the verse describes how the residents of Raj felt free again to go back to the forest, and the cows to graze freely. The cows could now be free. They were free from a tyranny. Krishna eliminated the tyranny. And we are reminded that Denukasura represents a tyrant, which is the gross intelligence, always telling us, do this, don't do that. How can that be true? He's eliminating that demon from our mind, so we can refine our intelligence and understand the higher topics. And the verse brings 2 points. One is the citizens felt free to go to the forest. And the second point is that Krishna, the cows felt free to graze. They could now graze. Prabhupada in 1943 also experienced a tyranny. He was in Calcutta, and the British were on the verge of war with the Japanese. The Japanese people had reached Burma, and there was a great worry that they might reach India. And India is celebrated for always having abundant food. Through the villages, the Indian people always had abundant food. So what the British people did is they decided to sink all the ships which had rice in it and fabricate what Prabhupada calls a famine. People were actually hungry because the British people decided to get rid of the rice so that the Japanese people would not get the rice. And for them, it was okay if the Indian people starved. Prabhupada mentions that he would buy personally one mold of rice, which is about 37 kilos, a bag of 40 kgs, a big bag, for 6 rupees. When he heard about the war, he wanted to stock some food, and the merchant refused to give him the rice. He says, no, I cannot sell you. The next 2 hours he went back and the price was 50 rupees. You can imagine, if the rice now, in today's price, one bag of 40 kilos of rice for a cheap rice of 30 rupees would cost you 1,200 rupees. And tomorrow it's 10,000 rupees. So you can imagine if you had to feed a whole temple, the impact that would have. And for those who had money, they could still secure something. But for the common people, the tyranny was just giving them dying on the roads. It was a common sight to see people on the trees cooking whatever they could find to survive. And Prabhupada said it was very difficult to do that. So Prabhupada had a vision what a tyranny does to you. Prabhupada had a vision what dependence does to you. And he was extremely concerned about that. Because as a young man, he was with Gandhi, and he was thinking that if we freed India from the tyranny of the British people, we'll be able to practice and expose our bhakti yoga to the world. So he carried that. But he was defeated. We hear this. But that great personality, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and in that moment, he says, I was very happy to be defeated. He felt happy to be defeated by a great personality. And what was the defeat? Actually, on the 21st, just a week and a half ago, they inaugurated this very place, Uttaganga Junction number 1. This place was the place where the movement started, where Srila Prabhupada received a message from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to go to the West and preach the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the devotees arranged this place beautifully. The place has such a deep feeling of the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And most important, in connection to Srila Prabhupada. That connection where the whole movement started, that moment of instruction from the Guru was right there. And I was fortunate to be there. It was a beautiful event, and it's very noble, like Bengal have a noble spirit. The building is very noble, and there's a museum. You should all, if you have a chance, visit that place. So that shows that when Prabhupada proposed for his devotees cow protection, he was not referring to some political movement. He was referring to something existential for our bhakti process, bhakti movement. Prabhupada was telling us that the farms are the places where we can be self-sufficient, not depend on outside help when a tyrant comes, when a tyranny comes, when we are subdued by external force. We can go on preaching the cult of bhakti without stopping. So Srila Prabhupada writes a letter very early to Rupanuga, and he says, I'll read it to you because I think it's a very important letter. He says, Our farm projects are an extremely important part of our movement. We must, see, he doesn't even should, we could. He says, we must become self-sufficient by, now he explains, growing our own grains and producing our own milk. Then there will be no question of poverty. Prabhupada had experienced poverty coming from tyranny. We see now there's a conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And the first thing which is threatened is food. Because how does food go around in the middle of a war? So you can be locked in a place and you have no access to food. And most importantly, the cruel mentality of a tyrant, he destroys the food sources so people will not have access to it, nor the armies. That's how they win the war. Doesn't matter if you die of hunger or not. Prabhupada then his conclusion, so develop this farm community as far as possible. They should be developed as an ideal society depending on natural products, not industry. Industry has simply created godlessness because they think they can manufacture everything that they need. See, in one letter, Prabhupada is actually, he's revealing to us what the world is unpacking as the regenerative movement, the ecological movement, all these new movements of agroforestry, replenishing the planet. Srila Prabhupada was putting it right here in the 60s when nobody is speaking about this except for some back to the land movement remotely from some alternative communities. The world was worried about the American dream of life, having two cars, three jobs, many sons, and gadgets. That was the American dream. And that was the dream that attracted India. All the Indian people says, Are, that's Swarga in here. Let's go, let's get our green card. There's a great rush. And the Indian government facilitated that by sending master people, degree people to America. Because they knew that every Indian returns home. And when he comes back, he brings all the knowledge home. So all the computer ITs that you have today was thought out. We send our bachelors and we bring the PhDs with all the knowledge. But Prabhupada is referring to something deeper. He's saying that we must become self-sufficient because then we can continue independent of outside help. And that's the next phase of the movement. Many devotees think, oh, I think we were unsuccessful. We haven't been very far. But think about it. How long does it take to establish the highest philosophy of the universe? Pure devotional service to Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada did that, and his followers in these last years are trying to expand that. Srimad Bhagavatam, I preaching to the scientific academia, building temples and farm development. This was Prabhupada's very cherished dream, and now it's the time. Because we can see pandemics, wars, we get a glimpse, we get a warning of what's coming. We believe that this system will go on forever. I can pull my credit card, swipe it, and I have everything I want. Prabhupada wasn't so sure. By his writings, we can understand that Prabhupada was not so sure that this system will go on like this forever. He expressed this in many places. In many places. And you may ask me, so Prabhu, you have traveled all the farms of ISKCON. What went wrong? I received this question many times. And the second question is, where is the most successful farm of ISKCON? Those are the two questions I always get. To the first question, I would say that we were not yet ready to understand abundance. Actually, the world is still not ready to understand what abundance is. Because when we look at the world, we don't look what's under the soil. That's where abundance lives. Abundance is happening on the under the soil. We don't understand soil. Because we don't understand the communities which lives under the earth. We only look what's above the earth. We cannot understand what's happening down there. And let me tell you, down there, there's a beautiful communities, or many communities, cooperating deeply. When the root system of different trees, they merge, one tree is signaling to the other, this tree needs one nutrient, let's facilitate that. And the whole microbiological world gets coded to make that whole system ready, available. That's how the forest develops. And that's why Krishna is so attached to the forest of Raj. Because in the forest, there is an intelligentsia in the forest, which was given by the natural law of Krishna. And if you study biology, you understand. So by understanding that, now you know that that's not anthropocentric. That world is a world of diversity. And Krishna knows that. That world is a world which is helping us to nurture, to develop on the planet. When we bring in anthropocentric ideas, we become external. And everything external needs mechanical means to adjust. Therefore, agriculture is a war. Machines, fertilizer, pesticides, kill. I am the center. I look at the river. What can I get from the river? I don't look at the river as a personality which is part of Krishna's creation. I look at the creation from the perspective, what can this world give me as the center of the universe, the humankind? We have not yet exercised in our discussions, and it's time to do that. To see that Krishna does not think like that. Krishna loves diversity. Krishna enjoys the forest because diversity is there. And when you understand that, our thinking process will be aligned with the abundance that you see in every picture around you. Every picture is showing different animals and trees, but you cannot see what's happening under the earth. You can only see from the grass up. Now is the time for our vision to dive deeper below the soil and understand how that abundance is impacting my abundance, our self-sufficiency. And there are many systems. This is not a theoretical idea. There are many, many conscious agriculturalists today practicing this and showing this. And I went to many of these places. It's amazing. Instead of me deciding, I'm going to put this crop, they plant many crops and see which one nature allows. And those that it's allowed, you leave it and you take the other ones. So there are many, many things happening. And Prabhupada had some of this knowledge because he was in touch with Gandhi. And Gandhi was in touch with Albert. And Albert is the father of organic farming in the West. He came to India to teach chemical, and he was simply confused because he saw insects but no pests. The production of India was double of his chemical farming. He got completely confused. How is this possible? So as a humble Britisher, which is a kind of exquisite combination, to be a Britisher and humble simultaneously, but he was both. And by being that combination, he took the farmers and the ecosystem as the teachers. And then he was able to go back to the West and start the organic movement. He went to America, Rotterdam, organic farming, which is biologic agriculture in France. And he was a friend of Steiner, and there's a whole movement right there, starting from India. India usually is the birth of all these revolutions. So now it's a good time for us, members of the Hare Krishna movement, to read from Srila Prabhupada and understand how important this is. And I had two slides, did you get it? Yes? I want to show you that gradually we are making progress. I'm going to show you a slide that in one place, you can see this is us, that's ISKCON. Today our society is protecting 5,500 cows. So that's almost a precise data. We only have 20 projects to go that we're able to tell you exactly how many cows, bulls, oxen we have. We'll be able to tell you how much milk is being produced globally. You see, right now it's showing 2,863 liters of ahimsa dairy, cruelty-free dairy produced in our society. It's still very shy because one farm alone, this is per day, in the 60s, but mostly in the 80s, was producing 3,800 liters of ahimsa dairy-free a day. One farm was beating the world two times. So this is 108 projects across the globe. So by having a number, we can now think, how do we expand? How do we give ahimsa dairy to all deities? How Krishna can get pure milk from all our endeavors? That's a very important goal. So what we're trying to do is, and this is a public site, you can see all the goshalas, and in the future you see every cow, every picture of every cow of ISKCON that is protected. In the second slide, and this is another platform which is being built, which this morning you heard that the Ministry of Cow Protection and Agriculture, which is a GBC initiative, was able to, from many well-wishers of Vrindavan, collect 4.7 lakhs for the pleasure of the deities and of the cows of Vrindavan. So for the first moment, the GBC body is putting together a platform to assist financially in a systematic way all the farms of our movement. So I'm hopeful. I've traveled, I've seen, there's a lot of success. One farm from 30 hectares now has 200 hectares, and they're growing wheat, and they're making bread and biscuits organic and selling it. Another farm in Czech Republic, they have all worked out. The government is learning from them. In India, I hear there's so many initiatives with ISKCON, Friends of ISKCON, farms. The movement is coming up, and you will see very soon it will surface, very soon. And it's a good time for us to get a grip on it, because in these farms we can replicate Braj. Devotees can have time to stay the whole day doing 24 kirtan and not have to travel to the West to make a little money to continue the 24/7 kirtan party. You'll be able to have your grains and your food and your families all accommodated in that place and do your bhajan throughout. And just to finalize, I'd like to say that Govardhan Eco Village is one of our champions. And both His Holiness Radhanath Swami and Gauranga Prabhu, who is arriving today, they have told me personally, if only they had known the impact that this aspect has on people and on the preaching, they would have done it two decades ago. I met a lady on a plane in Mumbai, and she was looking at me, and I never had met her. And she looked at me, and finally I said, Hare Krishna. there was a row of five people, and all said, Hare Krishna. And I said, oh, Hare Krishna. And then they said, you live in India? I said, yes. And then I said, were you in India? Yes, we were. We were in Govardhan Eco Village. We were bored at home in America. So we thought, let's make a retreat and go to Govardhan Eco Village. And they did. So you can imagine, someone from North America looked up, booked, and the children were smiling here. They were happy. The lady was super happy, so much that she wanted to talk to me. I didn't even know her. And she wanted to share how she was overflowing with bliss. So it's a great model for us. It's a good time. I'm really happy with Vrindavan. My small report was the Goshala and the farm are making good progress. And the Gurukul nearby we visited, they're planting grasses and crops, also very exciting. So I can see a green Vraj in the future. Vishnunam Prabhu, who is sitting here, he's one of our members of the Indian Ministry of Cow Protection Agriculture. We have been working together. And I'm very happy he's here in Vrindavan Dham. So we can together push this forward. Thank you very much. I hope what I said was to some degree helpful. I'm but a young practitioner of bhakti. You are all much senior to me, so forgive me if I did say something inappropriate. And if you do have any comment or question for a moment, we could, I think, still do that.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Yesterday someone asked me, they said, you know, why is it that in America, in Europe, it doesn't appear as though Krishna consciousness is that vibrant, you know, that after so many years of spreading the movement, of course in India we see it's taking off more so, and I expect maybe it goes into waves, and it's very difficult actually to find a person who's serious about spiritual life. Prabhupada admitted here is very rare that people take to the things. Can you say something about that dimension?
Thank you for the beautiful question. Yes, waves is a very good way of looking at it. If you analyze our waves, you see, Shankara came establishing personalism, Lord Buddha comes to defeat, Lord Buddha comes, Shankara comes, defeats him, and then comes Ramanuja, defeats impersonalism, Madhva comes, puts more emphasis, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu puts emphasis on Achinta Beda Beda Tattva, and here comes the movement of bhakti. Now, on a shorter scale of time, Srila Prabhupada is in India. His god brothers are asking him, what are you going to do about Charan Day? And he says, my master asked me to go to the West. Don't do that. That's not important. But it's the mission I have to do, and nobody was ready to help him. Yet he goes and he makes this incredible mission which explodes in a few years. To the point of making friendship with the Beatles, the most famous band of the planet at the time. And the Hare Krishna explosion is just something inconceivable. And that explosion comes back to India. And the white elephants in Mumbai, in Delhi, they convince India that bhakti is their tradition. They should go back to that. And India now is understanding we have a treasure that we are just ignoring it. If you go to every person, they say, I know Bhagavad Gita, my grandfather read it, but he's not practicing it. So he's very close to Krishna, but at the same time, he's not walking towards Krishna. And he's a Western who's backwards to Krishna, looking at the materialistic, but he's running to Krishna. So my analysis is a wave. So we were very prominent. We had some social adjustments to make. But it's coming up again, book distribution, farm development. I heard that in Czech Republic there are many, many developments coming. I hear that the scientific preaching world is really organizing itself in many places. And the whole congregation is getting specialized. There's so many grihasthas, very competent. I went to house of a doctor in Atlanta. He is doing amazing. He worships, I don't know how many Shilas. He does Astakas. And then he goes to work. And he maintains the whole congregation. That we don't see. But it's there. It's time. Would you like to compliment Maharaj?
Can you enlighten us about the marriage that Maria Sudhana and Maharaj used to live with the cows? I'm not sure if you are promoting and propagating that those are some Vaishya tendencies, and we as a family should have a cow and a cow as a family member. I'm not sure about this word cow protection. It's not in British culture. Because cows are members of the family. So if you make cows members of the family, it's not, then the word protection kind of falls away. Because it's not faith in it. As a testimony. Can you comment on that?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. That's a beautiful question. The Vraja culture is an incredible asset that we have. And if you think of cow protection, or if you think of cows as a house, the foundation would be cow protection. That's what Krishna is doing here. There's a demon and he's protecting them. The walls of the house is cow care. That's what the Vrajavasi experience. They care for a cow as a family member, sometimes in the kitchen of their house. Sometimes there's a room built for the cow and they sleep with them. And the roof is accepting the gifts of mother cow to sustain the house. So for us, bhakti yogis, today when you say Hare Krishna, everybody thinks of a Harinam party, happy people, giving books or sweets or something. But what if, very soon, they say, they're so nice people. They chant, they dance, they distribute books and sweets and prasadam, and they keep cows as family members. I think that's the next collective image we need to imprint. And that's deeply rooted in the Vraja culture. That the whole village is a unit who gels together to solve their existential problems. And milk is not a commodity. Milk is a nectar which is shared among themselves. And all the wealth emanates from that nectar. And the elderly and the young children, they go out and they nurture the retired cows, the bulls, by grazing them. Like Krishna is doing in the Vraja culture. So there's a great scope. As soon as we understand this, and we interact with the Vraj Mandal Parikram, we might be able to localize places where mud houses. We get away from the industrial paradigm a little bit. And we get closer to Srimad Tulsi Devi, to the mode of goodness, to the habit of getting away from electronic waves. That's one of our deepest enemies. All this, what we call, I don't even know where mine is, but what we call my life. If I lose my phone, my face changes. I lost my identity. I lost my credit card, my contacts. Everything is lost, isn't it? Have you experienced losing this little gadget? Your heart is devastated. So getting away from this is really important. Your chakras are balanced. You have time. You can look at the stars. You can look at the moon. You can appreciate the moon. And you can appreciate a bhajan. You can appreciate a class. You can appreciate your family members in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada wanted that for us. It's a gift. But we must learn how to reap this gift. It's coming. There are many, many devotees working very hard. It's still impregnating our mind that farms are unsuccessful. But as soon as the kirtan boys get this, they're going to make so many kirtans in the farm that everybody's going to go there to these places. And I want to have a proposal. I already spoke to Madhav about this and he likes it. We should get kirtan parties going to different farms, different goshalas, and making kirtans to promote the Vraja culture. I think it will be a big success. On this note, I'd like to end here and thank you all very much for your patience, for your blessings that you gave. And if you do bless me, I'd like you to raise your hands and say Haribo so that I can remain a sevak of all of you.
Haribo!